Website at legendoldies.com. Request a song, see what's currently playing, view the weekly schedule in your local time zone, and learn more about your favorite DJs. Listen to talk shows when you want with your computer, Victor Stream, or iPhone, including All Things Radio, ATR Extra, Coffee Club, and Sports Lounge Live. Connect to our Zoom voice chat rooms to talk with us live using your computer, iPhone, or telephone. All this and much more at legendoldies.com. Welcome to Sports Lounge Live, a weekly talk show covering baseball, basketball, football, NASCAR, plus the latest sports news, both pro and college. Hear past talk shows on your phone by calling the Conversation Station or as a podcast on your iPhone, Victor Stream, or computer. Visit legendoldies.com for links to automatically connect via your computer or iPhone. Call the sports aficionados at area code 646-876-9923 and enter the PIN 287-723-4600, followed by the pound key twice. And now, your hosts, Chris Devon, Perry Lester, Sean Platts, and Bill Sparks.
Well, here we go once again. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bill Sparks, soon to be joined by Chris and the whole crew. Chris, how are you?
Oh, we're doing all right. Happy Mother's Day, everybody, and hope everybody had a good Mother's Day. This is show number 41 of Sports Lounge Live, and we have our usual panel. Of course, Perry is here, and Sean is here, and we are going to start off with the NBA playoffs. Then we're going to do the NHL playoffs. Then we'll do a little bit of horse racing just for a minute, I guess, get that out of the way. Then we'll do some baseball, of course. Then we're going to do some media stuff. And included in that is an NFL, a couple of quick NFL notes, and then some media stuff. So I don't know. We'll
bounce it around. And then other random things, whatever comes up.
Right. So anyway,
callers really want to get in tonight, this would be a great night to get in because we do not have a loaded show tonight.
Yeah, we got a bunch of items, but they're shorter items. So it sounds like a lot, but it isn't as much as it sounds like it is. Otherwise, we'll have to talk to each other. And how interesting is that? Sean, as you hear, is chomping at the bit to take hold here and do his portion. So go for it, Sean.
So by the way, if you are a mother and you're tired of your little ungrateful little kids who played around and spoiled you today, you know, for one day a year, and hey, or if you're a kid and hey, you love your mom so much that hey, you got to call us now. You can download the Zoom app or dial in 646-876-9923 and then do 287-723-4600. Hit the pound key twice. Star 6 mutes you, unmute you. Star 9 raises your hand. Alt Y raises your hand on the computer. And, of course, you can leave us a voicemail at any time, 773-572-7715. Hit pound key when you hear the greeting. And do not mark the message private so we can all hear it. Also, our good buddy Robert, Ringside Robert, and his crew, the Ringside Reporter podcast at ringsidereporter.com or Ringside Reporter in your podcatcher, or 773-572-7781. And, of course, my wrestling line, you know, shooting the you-know-what with Sean, 773-572-7867. I'm going to be reviewing the documentary on the death of wrestler Gino Hernandez. So, anyway, we had some playoff action and a couple of sports going on this weekend, some Game 7s, which should we get on into that a little bit?
Yeah, okay. Well, the NBA, and we'll start with that. And first of all, we'll tell you where we stand with some of these other series that are over. We had Milwaukee ending, remember the Celtics won the first game of that series 2 weeks ago tonight, but then Milwaukee took it over, won the last four games, and ended up beating the Celtics last Wednesday to knock them out in 4-1, 116-91. That broke an interesting streak in Boston sport because there had been 9 playoff victories in a row. And what I mean by that is the starting back with the Red Sox. The Red Sox, of course, won their series against the Yankees and Houston and the Dodgers. That 3. Then the Patriots won theirs. They won against the Dodgers was the third one. Then the Chargers, the Chiefs, and the Rams for 6. And then the Celtics had won their first one against Indiana. It was 7. And the Bruins won their first one with Toronto. That's 8. And then the Bruins had already beaten Columbus. That's 9. So nine in a row, that's a long streak for one city. Well, the Celtics ended that, but, you know, it's quite a streak. Philadelphia and Toronto are playing right now. They're playing game 7, and we will keep you updated as we go along. Perry will be our scoreboard watcher.
With 30 seconds to go in the first half, it is 43-40 Toronto.
Okay, now the Sixers had dug a hole there. They're about 7-9 points behind, so they're kind of hanging in there. Embiid and cohorts are trying to hang in against Toronto, so we'll see what happens. Golden State won their series 4-2. They beat Houston 118-113, and so they won that, and they are, of course, waiting. We're waiting for the winner of today's game, and that was Portland and Denver. And Portland came from behind. They were 17 points behind at one point and beat Denver 100-96. So Portland goes to the Western Finals against Golden State, and that's the first time they've been to the Western Finals since 2000. And so they'll be in there against Golden State. That series will start Tuesday at 9 p.m. And then on Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. in Milwaukee, we know it'll be in Milwaukee. Either Toronto will be in Milwaukee or the 76ers will be in Milwaukee. What did I say, 8:30? I hope I said 8:30.
Yeah, 8:30. And remember, the Western Conference this year, well, all games will be on ESPN Radio, but the West will be on ESPN, and maybe if it goes to Game 7, ABC, and the East will be on TNT. The West games pretty much start at 9 p.m., except I think Saturday will start at 8, and then the East games start at 8:30, pretty much. All the games through, it looks like.
Right.
Also,
and
remember...
And it's every other day, right? So Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, right? Is that how they go?
Yeah, so far, that's what it's looking... And remember, also, before Game 1 on Tuesday, we have the draft lottery.
That's right.
So we can see... How the Knicks get that number one pick.
That's right. They did it for Patrick Ewing. I think they'll manage to do it again. That was so funny. That was the first one they ever had. And I remember people being so cynical after that. Oh, isn't it a surprise? The Knicks won. Yeah, wow. You know, NBA, I'll tell you what, it's amazing. The Knicks, that's the holy grail in the NBA. The NBA always says all their ratings go up when the Knicks are good. And the Knicks are hardly ever good. So it just doesn't, they do well, but beyond that, I mean, obviously the NBA does, you know, is the next behind the NFL, does very well. But, you know, they always want the Knicks up there. That's for sure, though. And we have a little coaching news. I don't know. It's official or Adrian Wojnarowski has it.
It is official.
It is official now. Okay. It is official now.
So we have Frank Vogel, the star-studded coach of the Indiana Pacers and Orlando Magic, going to the Los Angeles Lakers with Jason Kidd as his assistant, a former head coach, of course, you know, with the Bucks. And I think the Nets, too, didn't he? Did he coach the Nets, too?
Yeah, he was the Nets.
Nets, too, and then the Bucks. And, he's the one that kicked the thing over so he could get the timeout. I remember that. That was a funny one. Anyway, he's going to be he's LeBron's assistant coach. And then you're going to have Frank Vogel there to be the coach, who apparently, so Bill, you're saying when he was in Indiana, that he couldn't control his players? Is that the idea?
There was some issue with veteran players that they needed a strong assistant coach to keep things in line. He actually started out as a film person for the Pacers and worked his way up, came up through the assistant coach, and actually worked his way from virtually off the street to become the head coach of the Pacers, and then, of course, on to Orlando when Larry Bird let him go, and then where he is now.
Right. Well, it's kind of a strange move. I mean, I know they couldn't get it. Apparently, they couldn't agree on economic terms with Tyronn Lue, who was LeBron's choice because, of course, he'd worked with him in Cleveland. So LeBron's got to have his nose a little bit out of joint. So I don't know. But there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, I guess, what are they saying? That Linda Rambis, Kurt Rambis' wife, is involved somehow?
Oh, apparently what happened was Pelinka and Jeannie Buss were all ready to give Ty Lue the 5-year deal that he wanted. And Linda Rambis was like, no, 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 we don't want him. So now Linda Rambis, of course, the great basketball expert, I'm sure she is, you know, she said, but as you know, the Rambises, especially Linda, and of course, Phil Jackson, they have Jeannie's ear, even though Phil and Jeannie are supposedly ex-fiancés, but he still has Jeannie's ear, and, you know, she listens, and it's just, I don't know, it's a train wreck in L.A.
Magic's having a good time with this, I'm sure. You know,
on Friday, remember, we had the fans protesting the Lakers It wasn't a very big protest, but you did have fans protesting the Lakers. And as Sean reported, Kurt and Linda Rambis and Phil Jackson are seemingly the three that have Jeannie's ear.
There were chants of fire Rambis at the, you know, and it was basically fire both of them, you know, because they were really not happy with, I mean, you know, this is just, you know, a franchise. Our good buddy John right now, as I said, is rolling over in his grave. He would be cussing up a storm over these moves. I can guarantee you.
The latest rumor, though, I mean, today's rumor, I mean, obviously there'll be another rumor tomorrow, there'll be a rumor Tuesday, whatever. Today's rumor is that Kyrie is thinking about going to the Lakers. Now, remember, he's the guy that wanted his team. He wanted to be the number one guy. Well, he saw how that worked out because the younger players, he said, didn't listen to him. And they're saying, hey, we did better without you. What's the matter with you? And, you know, there's arguments on both sides because we had guys didn't come through as much either. But Kyrie did not have a good series. So, you know, there's stuff to be, to be thrown at everybody in this Celtic debacle here. But my point is now he wants to go back with LeBron. Now, I know they made up at the All-Star game and, you know, he played on the same team and all that good stuff. But now he wants to be the number two to the maybe not the best player in the league, but the number three, anyway, guy in the league, LeBron James. So I don't know. It's crazy. I don't get it.
Well, another rumor, Chris, that JT the Brick mentioned today when he was on Mad Dog is, of course, we know tonight that either Toronto or Philly season will end. So Kawhi Leonard will be available and Jimmy Butler will be available after this, you know, whomever season ends. And the rumor is that LeBron would like Jimmy Butler to be available. That way, then he could maybe talk him into coming to LA. And then, you know, LeBron, you know, the aging LeBron could get him the ball and he could be their number one scorer. And LeBron would kind of, you know, help him as he goes.
Okay. And so then that would leave Kyrie to fend for himself, either stay here or go somewhere else or do whatever.
Correct. Go to the Knicks with Durant, probably.
Number two. But if he does that, then he's number two behind Durant. See, he's, you know, does he want to be a number two or a number one? And then the other thing is, does he want to stay here and have the Celtics try to get Anthony Davis to trade, let's say, Jason Tatum away or something like that? You know, that and other things. And, you know, that's another rumor.
And getting back to the Frank Vogel thing. Frank Vogel, his last year in Orlando, a year ago, he had 25 wins. And then this year, basically the same team in Orlando, without Frank Vogel, 42 wins and they made the playoffs.
Right.
So that shows him as a coach, and he's just there. It's only a 3-year deal. The rumor is that they have Kidd in to basically be the head coach, and Frank Vogel's just in to kind of appease everybody and say, well, hey, if Frank's not working out, we can get rid of him. We have Jason Kidd on staff coaching waiting.
Well, and remember a couple things here. Number one, it's 44-40 at halftime. Raptors are ahead. And remember, Jason Kidd had problems everywhere he's been. You know, he had the domestic violence.
Yes, he did.
He had the you know, drinking and driving and stuff like that, and nobody really wanted to hire him. So he really needed this too to get him, you know, to get himself back in the league.
Yeah, and I had never heard, and you know, you don't know all these things, who played with who in the AAU and who's buddies with who. I had never heard of a particular relationship between LeBron and Jason Kidd. I don't know.
Jason Kidd's a lot older. Remember, Jason Kidd was early 90s. You know, he was
early 90s. Not to play with him, but you know, in other words, you had the same coach in the AAU, or you know, there's things like that. You have the same age, and you have the, you know, something tying them together. I've never heard anything about it. Doesn't mean I know all the ins and outs of these guys, but I'm just saying that's not something I've ever heard. I've never heard them linked in any way.
I've never heard them links.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. No, I know he's a lot older.
I don't think they both have Rich Paul. I don't think Jason Kidd's agent is Rich Paul. So.
Okay, so I think that takes care of the NBA. So we'll keep an eye on that Toronto-Philadelphia game. And as Perry says, 44-40 Raptors at halftime.
And callers, when we get around to the callers, I mean, if you guys want to talk NBA or anything else that we miss or whatever, feel free to do so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we go to the NHL. And we go to the East, where on Monday night, the Bruins beat Columbus and knocked them out in the 4-2. And then Carolina had already swept the Islanders in our last exciting episode, 4-0. Now, we have, I need to bring this up. We all have staff. And what I have my friend Rick in 781. Terry has his wife in 515, and there are the two Jennifers. One is in the other room, one is downstairs. Bill's Jennifer and Sean's Jennifer. And when we make mistakes or when we say something, you know, they're listening, and we sometimes don't know if we want them to be. Because I made the mistake last week, and Robert didn't catch this. This is amazing. Robert is the guy that really jumps on these hockey things. I said something about Carolina being undefeated in the playoffs. No, the Islanders had swept Pittsburgh, not Carolina. Carolina had fought their way through and beaten Washington 4-3. So when I was talking to my friend Rick this week, he said, yeah, you did another one. I said, okay, what did I do? And he said to Carolina, I said, you know, I thought about that later. I said, did I actually say that? Because that was crazy. So the deal was that Carolina had swept the Islanders in round two, but had fought through to win in 7 games with Washington. But now, today, we had that. So that's the East. And today, we had the Bruins. They won on 5-2 on Thursday night to take a 1-0 lead. And today, they won easily 6-2. And it really wasn't even as close as that. It was 6-0 early in the third period. They had a lot more zone time, the Bruins did. They've got a 2-0 lead now in the series. They're going back to Carolina for game 3 on Tuesday, and that's an 8:00 face-off. And the thing is that the Bruins, you know, I mean, I'm always leery because everybody's saying, oh, it's all over, Bruins have this, and they should, but Carolina was behind 2-0 to Washington and did come back and win that series, but they were closer games. I mean, the Bruins have really dominated so far, but I also remember the Bruins leading Philadelphia 3-0 in 2010 and losing 4 straight and losing that series. So, you know, everybody who's been a fan of a team has demons, has ghosts that, you know, they think about. Okay, in the West, San Jose came through and beat Colorado, 4-3 to win their series in 7 games. And another 7-gamer in the West saw St. Louis beating Dallas 4-3. And that was an overtime game, I think, in double overtime.
That was a double overtime game.
Yep. So Perry's, of course, the Blues fan. So we've got we have Robert, who's a San Jose fan. I'm a Bruins fan, and we got Perry for the Blues. But the last night, the Blues did not get off on the right foot. San Jose beat them 6-3, and the Blues seemed like they were a little bit rattled. They kind of committed a lot of extra penalties, and they sort of like Carolina. It really looks like the Bruins and San Jose, at least at this time, sort of have their feet under them, and that the Blues and Carolina need to kind of, you know, get their act together. And but the Blues have another chance tomorrow night at 9:00 in San Jose. Game 2 will be played. So I think basically you're going to have an every other day kind of thing with the NHL too, probably Tuesday, Thursday, and then if necessary, Game 5 on Saturday for the Bruins, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, game necessary for the, Friday would be Game 5 also. That's probably the way it's going to work, but we don't have all that doped out, but we'll see. There was one other move in the NHL. Edmonton hired a guy named Ken Holland as their GM. He was he left the Detroit organization. It's the NHL, so we have to say organization. And he left Detroit. Steve Yzerman, Mr. Y, is now the general manager of Detroit. This guy, they were sort of co-managing it, but Yzerman's going to run Detroit, and they still need a new coach in Edmonton. But Edmonton has been kind of a train wreck going right along here, so we'll see if anybody can salvage that. So I guess we have, what do we want to do next? We want to do baseball?
Or let's
go ahead and do the baseball stuff, because that'll take a while. Yeah. So we'll go ahead and do
okay.
That.
Yeah, it'll take a few minutes, and then if anybody wants to call, Sean, what's that number?
You can give us a call 646-876-9923, and then 287-723-4600. Hit the pound key twice, and you are here. And well, real quickly before baseball, it only takes about 10 seconds. The two horses. Maximum Security and Country House, the winner and the given winner. Neither one, of course, are running in the Preakness. Maximum Security suing the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission and Country
House. Actually, his owner, horses have no standing in court.
Yeah, I've heard they have subpoenaed the horses to talk to them. All the different horses.
Mr. Ed is his lawyer. Mr. Ed is his lawyer. So if he gets into court, he's going to represent
him. Yeah, Mr. Ed is his lawyer, and so and the other one, Country House, has an infection, so probably dozens of people now be watching the Preakness.
Yeah, at least 15-20. Well, it could lead into a Bruins game on Saturday. They may not even get that if the series goes the way it's going right now. They may not even get a Bruins game on Saturday to follow that up with. They may have to put on, I don't know, Little House reruns or something. I don't know what they have on NBC. But anyway,
Dateline.
There you go. Yeah, Dateline. There you go. Okay, so we got the baseball standings going into today, and then we'll give you the scores also. The American League East, Tampa Bay, 24-14. The Yankees, 23-16. They were a game and a half out. And they've been meeting this weekend in Tampa Bay. So the Red Sox have fought their way over 500 at 21-19, which going into today put them four games out. And Toronto, when teams are kind of, at least in our opinion, out of contention, I'm not going to figure out all the games out. They got to play a little better to get into our little radar here. Toronto at 16-23 and Baltimore at 13-26 going into today's action. In the Central, Minnesota, and we haven't talked about them. And actually, I'm going to ask Perry because he listens to a lot more of the baseball, national baseball talk than I do. What's the feeling about Minnesota? They're 25-13, Perry. What are they saying about the Twins and how well they're doing here?
I think a lot of people are surprised. Maybe not that the Twins are doing quite as well. I don't think they thought they'd be quite this good, but I think the Twins are certainly being helped in the division, and they are playing well, but they're being helped too because the Indians have their offenses pretty horrible, and with the Kluber injury, that is certainly helpful to the Twins at this point. But I think the Twins are certainly playing well, at least so far. Now, you would have thought they might have been able to get 3 out of 4 against Detroit this weekend, but they only got 2 out of 4.
Uh-huh. Okay, so they're 25-13. The Indians, 5 games out at 20-18. And is it just that people are slumps, or we got a lot of injuries on that Indian offense? What's going on with that? Perry.
What's that, Chris? I was looking at my screen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, with the Indians offense, is it just that guys are not having good years, that we have injuries on the offense, or what
no,
is going
it's just
with
that? The guys are not having good years. That's the problem
okay.
with the offense.
All right. Then we have Detroit at 17-20. We have Chicago at 17-21. And we have Kansas City at 14-26. In the West, it's Houston, and we all kind of said that this would happen. It took 3-4 weeks to get it going, but Houston's at 25-15, and they have the Angels are 19-20. So that means that Houston has a 5.5-game lead on the Angels now, who are in second. Seattle going into today at 20-22, which would put them 6 games out, and Oakland at 19-22, 6.5 out. So they're bunched up there, but Houston has taken over. Oh, and Texas at 17-20. So they're all kind of in a bunch, but Houston with the 5-game lead and the odds-on favorite to win that division anyway.
So Texas, so, after their pretty good start, Texas has kind of fallen back to where we thought they would be.
Yes.
They haven't. Seattle, I heard a statistic on Seattle that they were 13-2 at one time, and they are now 20-22. And they came in here, and this is what happened to the A's too. The Red Sox, of course, they have gotten their act together. And both series on the road, the Red Sox at the beginning of the season lost 3 out of 4. But each time those two teams, A's and the Mariners, came into Fenway, the Red Sox swept them. So, you know, cream rises at the top and all that stuff. So at this point in the American League, there are 6 teams. They were talking today on the Red Sox game. There are 6 teams going into today over 500 and 9 under 500. So, and really the 6 teams that are over 500 are your contenders. You've got Tampa Bay, you've got the Yankees, and you got the Red Sox, you got Cleveland and Minnesota, and you got Houston. And, you know, maybe it's too early. It really is too early to say this, but it very well could be that 5 of those 6 are going to make the playoffs. I mean, it's just the American League has a lot of teams that are supposedly tanking, which is foolish in baseball because nobody knows anything about the baseball draft. You can't even, you know, it's a lot more sure thing. You get a guy like Durant or something, or a LeBron, you know you're going to have a star. You never know in baseball. It's foolish to think about these teams tanking. I don't know what they're thinking of to be trying to do this, but that is what they're doing.
By the way, Jerry, I see your hand. We'll get to you once we get through the scores and all the information.
Yeah.
We will get to you.
Okay. Yeah, now you got to listen up, Jerry. This is the National League. This is where you pay attention. Okay, National League East. We have Philadelphia, and he likes to hear this, 22-16 leading the division. Atlanta at 20-20, 3 games out. The Mets at 19-20, 3.5 out. Washington, here's a team I want to talk about. Washington at 16-23. This is a team we all kind of picked for the division earlier in the year. What is supposed to be the matter with the Nationals right now, Perry?
Well, their pitching isn't as good as they thought it would be. And I guess from what I'm hearing, by the way, in that division in total, Chris, is that Dave Martinez and Mickey Callaway could both be on the hot seat. If their teams don't pick it up, they could both be out.
Wow. Okay. It's early for that, but you never know.
That tells you, though, Chris, as to how close and tight the division is, and maybe that the GMs think that they need to make a move, you know, to give them a kick in the you-know-where.
Yeah, that's right. And the division, that's right. And the division, if you look at it compared to the Central, you see that the Phillies are the only team over 500. So, you know, oh, now the Braves are because they won today, but we'll get to that. But, you know, it's like a division where you maybe only have to win 85 games to win it. So you're not looking for to be ambitious. You just want to get more wins than the other guys. So Washington, I can see where Washington could have their manager in trouble. And Miami at 10-29, of course, on the way to Tanksville, as we say. In the Central division, though, on the other hand, we have three really good teams. Well, four pretty good teams, actually. Three good ones and another pretty good one. We have, going into today, the Cubs at 23-14, Milwaukee at 24-17. So that's only a game out. Then we have the Cardinals at 22-18. So that's 2.5 out. And then Pittsburgh at 19-17. So that's 3.5 out. And then Cincinnati at 18-22. And that's not bad. I mean, that's, you know, near 500 at least, as opposed to like the Marlins or something like that. And in the West, we have the Dodgers at 26-16. And then we have Arizona and San Diego are hanging in with the Dodgers pretty much at 22-18, both of them, three games out. We have Colorado at 18-21, 6.5 out, and the Giants at 16-23. So there you go.
And the problem you have there, Chris, is everybody thought the Rockies were going to be right up there.
Yeah.
So far, they're not.
No, they're not. They're not. Okay, so we had for our results today, we had Miami at the Mets was rained out, and that's not surprising because the further south you went, the rain really was worse. And I think Baltimore had a big rain delay. That's why they got down late. The Red Sox did manage to play in a drizzle and beat Seattle 11-2.
Red Sox!
That's right, Shelly. Did you guys know we had a peanut gallery here? Well, now you do.
That's what you
okay. Do. We had the White Sox beating Toronto 5-1. We had the Yankees beating Tampa Bay 7-1. And what was happening with the Yankees in Tampa Bay, they had their three-game series. So the Red Sox, their job was to win their games and try to pick up ground on both of them, and they did. And the deal is that the Yankees beat Tampa Bay 2-1. So they're a half a game out going now that they've met Tampa Bay. And they had a delay today with the lights going out in that wonderful ballpark we call Tropicana Field. And I don't know how long, at least about half an hour, I was checking on that. And actually, it was interesting because when I checked on TuneIn, it actually said there was a delay, Perry. You know how with the rain delays?
It
didn't say that. This one said a delay. And so I put on the Tampa Bay guy to see what was going on, and it was the light. So
it could have been a weather thing, Chris. They had a lot of weather in Florida today.
Well, it might have knocked out the lights, but of course they had the roof closed, so it was the lights themselves. But the thing is, Dave O'Brien had a great line years ago when he was doing the Red Sox on the radio, which of course he'll be doing a bit of this year. And he said, you know, Fenway Park is like Augusta and Tampa Bay is like a pitching putt. You know, it's like that. That's the way you kind of have to look at that ballpark. So anyway,
that's
the Yankees beat
pitching putt.
Yankees beat Tampa Bay 7-1. Houston beat the Rangers 15-5.
With a rookie pitcher, by the way. He was called up yesterday, a hometown guy from Houston, Corbin Martin, who played at Texas A&M, and in the minors he'd only given up one home run. So
okay. Detroit beat Minnesota 5-3. That's what Perry was talking about, that they split that series in Minnesota. Pittsburgh beat St. Louis 10-6 to hang in there with the big dogs in their division. Philadelphia over Kansas City 6-1. World Series matchup of 1980, as we all recall. Colorado over San Diego 10-7. Well, at least Denver got something today. They lost their basketball team. It's been a rough week for Denver. The Avalanche went out, and then the Nuggets went out. But Colorado, now they look. Now the focus switches to the Rockies, and everybody's going to say, "Hey, what do you mean they're under 500? We were in the postseason last year. What's going on?" This is what happens. You know, you get a chance when you're a team like the Red Sox or a team where somebody else is playing in town. You get to fly under the radar a little bit, you know, and that's over for the Rockies. So anyway, we had Baltimore beat the Angels 5-1 in a delayed game, but they finally got it in. San Francisco over Cincinnati 6-5. Cleveland beat Oakland 5-3. The Dodgers over Washington 6-0. Again, Washington's troubles would continue. And Arizona lost to the Braves. Braves beating them 5-3. And do we have a Cubs score early on there?
We do. The Cubs and the Brewers are tied 1-1 in the bottom of the fourth.
Okay.
And, you know, they missed the ball a little bit there, because we're talking all these, basically these matchups this weekend. You had the state of Ohio taking on the Bay Area. You had the city of New York taking on Florida. You had the Washington-Baltimore area taking on the L.A. Metro. You had Missouri and Pennsylvania. You didn't. The only one you didn't have. You didn't have the state of Texas versus Chicago. They missed out on the schedule.
I don't know, Sean. They've got to get you into the room next year when they design the schedule.
Yeah, they had them all.
They could have done that, Sean, because the Cubs did play the Rangers this year.
Yeah, and they could. Well, and I mean, it could have been the Cubs. You know, they could have worked it out that way, and they had the Astros, White Sox play. They could have very easily done that. Yep.
So, one more baseball item, and I want to put it in here because this is one of those things where there's people in baseball that are prominent that you never even heard of unless you're maybe a fan of a team. And there's an obituary here that David USF, our friend who gives us the obituaries on our phone group, David Montgomery. Now, who the heck is David Montgomery, you say, unless you're a Phillies fan? He died at 72 of cancer. He had cancer of the jaw. He was he came to the Phillies, and we were talking about Frank Vogel having a career like that. Hang on, Jerry. We'll finish this up, and then you're next. So he started in the ticket office in 1971. I mean, this is the same kind of thing that Frank Vogel did, and he worked his way up. Then he helped to run the scoreboard. Then he got into running marketing and sales, and then he was an executive vice president from 81 on. And then, he just worked his way up. He was a partner starting in 92 and the president in 97. And then he was the chairman after his illness and in 15. And he was the guy who helped with the transition from Veterans Stadium to Citizens Park. There's all these people behind the scenes in baseball who are not the on the field, you know, the GMs and people. We don't hear about them, but they're the guys who keep the thing running. And most of them have a guy like that. We got a guy here now, Sam Kennedy. Larry Lucchino was pretty outspoken. We used to hear about him here. But usually there's people like that, and it's amazing how they'll work their way up from office boys all the way up to the top, and it's kind of cool. So, Jerry, you had something you want to say?
Yeah, two things. It was quite a comeback for the Pirates today. They scored 7 runs, and so they were losing. Well, and then they scored 7 runs in the 6th and 7th inning. And my question is, do you guys think anybody will finally sign Dallas Keuchel?
After the draft, yes.
After the draft. When is the draft, Perry?
June 3rd, and that's that is the thought that I've been hearing the latest with Keuchel and Craig Kimbrel, so we'll take care of 2 birds with 1 stone. With those two, they will probably sign with somebody after June 3rd where the draft pick will not count against them. Because the rumor is that the Braves want Kimbrel, but they don't want to give up the draft pick, of course, because of all of the international signing, you know, that was taken from them when they had all their problems a year or two ago.
Right. And is Shelly still out there?
She is.
Maybe she.
She is.
Maybe she's
not. Sir. I am right.
What's up? What's happening?
I just wanted to say I'm so happy to see the Red Sox over 500. And I was wondering, with the baseball draft coming up, do you think, Chris, that the Red Sox will try to get some kind of a closer? Because I really think it was a loss to lose Kimbrel. He was good.
He was. They're not going to sign Kimbrel because I think that too much water has gone under the bridge. And like Perry said, probably the Braves will do that. But what you do is you have guys, you know, that you have guys in your minor league system and so forth, and maybe lower prospects. And as you get towards July and August, you know, they're doing okay with what they've got with Barnes and with the other guy whose name is escaping me at the moment. And, you know, they're sort of alternating as closers and Brian Brazier. They're doing okay with them. So for now, it's okay. And most of the American League, you know, that's what I'm saying. You've got a couple of big series coming up for the Red Sox because they're going to be playing Houston, you know, a rematch of the ALCS. And they're going to be playing next weekend here and the weekend after in Houston. And those will be, you know, games that people around the country will want to watch because that'll be some fun baseball.
And then you'll have some Yankee games coming up even after that.
And Yankee games coming up, yeah. So they'll get back into it. But, you know, when you get into play the A's and the Orioles and the Mariners and stuff, you can kind of, you know, mix and match and get through. But you're right. And now they need to get the healthy. David Price needs to come back. He's fairly close to coming back. So we'll see. But I don't know, Shelly. You know, but they can do that because teams that are out of it like that are going to have closers, and they're not going to really want to keep them. So at some point, they probably will pick up a closer, you know.
And the problem is, Chris, there's a lot of teams that need closers. I mean, to be honest, the Cubs need one. There's a whole lot of teams who need closers. So, I mean, maybe quite a bit. And remember what people forget is, remember this year, you only have one trade deadline. It's July 31st, and that's it.
Right. So keep an eye on that. And, you know, that's the thing. And now some of the things, and also one of the things that some of these teams are doing, you know, we have another reason we say sometimes, well, why do you pick up a guy like Matt Kemp for the Reds or something like that? That's for trade deadline purposes, because what you do is you have a guy like Encarnacion with Seattle, for example. He's there. What's he doing on that team? You know, they got all these young kids and they don't play good defense. They're you know, struggling with everything. Well, he's there, so you can trade him for a couple of prospects when somebody needs a slugger and at the end of the trade deadline. So that's why you have some of these incongruous people.
Speaking of the Reds, Bill, if you want to come on and talk about this, the Reds released Matt Kemp this week.
Yeah, they did. Was
yeah,
it
we
last,
talked about that last week.
Last week we discussed that. Yeah,
yep.
I don't know what the problem. I think it was more chemistry than anything else, and they wanted to bring up their new center fielder Nixon Zal, and they just it just didn't work out. The playing time.
And I've not heard that he's been picked up by anybody.
He's still on the disabled list, though, so maybe that has something to do with it.
Okay, do we
Jamal.
And by the way, Shelley, happy Mother's Day. And,
yes,
and all the mothers out there once again.
Yes.
But anything else on baseball?
Jamal wants to pipe to chime in. Go ahead, Jamal.
All right.
Thank you, by the way.
No problem.
A couple of things here. Number one about baseball. I for the fact the White Sox have had injuries with their pitching and their pitching are shaky, I'm happy that they're only that in this rebuild mode they're only 3 games under .500. Because it looked like it was gonna be a heck of a lot worse. And Jimenez is about to come off the table this soon. And I'm thinking that the White Sox have been playing decent lately, and maybe this could be maybe the months of June and July could be rather interesting months in Chicago.
Of the rebuilding teams.
I think, Jamal, in their division, I think the only team right now that I would say is absolutely awful are the Royals. I mean, the White Sox and the Tigers are both kind of hanging in there. They're not going to win the division, but they're hanging in there.
They are.
I mean,
they are.
And Cleveland isn't knocking the world on fire, so if the White Sox can get their act together with their pitching and they're healthy, I'm thinking maybe during the second half of the season, the White Sox could at least have a strong shot to finish second to Minnesota, because Cleveland's not looking that impressive at all, and I'm thinking that's going to continue. But
I have a feeling if it's a question, and that's why I asked Perry earlier about their not hitting, if they've got some people with ability, if they aren't getting dealt with injuries and all that, I'm thinking when the weather gets, as Carly Stremsky used to call it, more hitterish, in other words, warmer, then, you know, Cleveland, it's been cold and rainy and everything in the eastern third and half of the country. I mean, it's been ridiculous. And who's going to hit in this kind of weather? So they'll probably pick up. But I think I will say that they're further along in the rebuilding process than the Royals and the Tigers. So that's why I picked them for third anyway. And I think they've got a shot to be around .500 anyhow.
And
so,
by the way, Chris, we were talking about the Tigers Twins earlier. They still love Gardenhire in Minnesota. When he came out and got ejected yesterday, the fans were going wild. They still love him up there.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, he was a long, you know, he got a lot out of that team. So that's not surprising. So any more baseball items we have here?
While we're on baseball, I don't know if you know the answer to this. I didn't ask you beforehand, so hopefully I'm not throwing you.
Oh, is this one of those pop quiz? Okay, here we go.
We know the Red Sox are doing their broadcaster thing. Who do we have for like the next couple weeks?
Well, they don't. I don't always hear. I'm sure maybe it pops up somewhere. We had now today. This was interesting. Joe got Mother's Day off for the first time in his career. He was able to take Mother's Day off and hang out with his wife and his daughter, who have, you know, obviously that's a mother too, and you know, so forth. So today we had Will Fleming and Rob Bradford do the game. And of course, Will he's the guy in waiting. He's going to be part of the Red Sox crew in the future. When Joe isn't there or however they're going to work all this out. Upcoming this week, who we got coming in? Colorado. It's hard to say. I know coming up what did I hear about Houston? I don't know. You know, it's weird. Josh Lewin hasn't been here yet. He does the games out of time zone. So maybe that's what his job is. Mario Mpemba hasn't been around for a couple of weeks, so it's kind of hard to tell. Now, Saturday.
And we know it was Dale. We know it was Dale Arnold this, you know, before today.
And Dale would have, what was going to happen is, I think probably would have been Dale and Rob doing the game today if the Bruins hadn't had a, you know, telecast. Because Dale still does pregame stuff for Nesson Plus, probably he was doing, you know, before people switch over to NBC and watch the game. So over to Channel 10. So I'm thinking that was why Dale wasn't there, because he did say he had a Bruins commitment. So he might have been the guy that was going to be there today, but they just let slid Will Fleming over, who did the pregame and the game. So, you know, double duties, but he's young. He can take it. So I don't know. Now, the one thing may happen on Saturday night and maybe even on when they play the ESPN game against Houston, you may start to see Dave O'Brien in the mix, because those are games that, you know, are not on Red Sox TV. So maybe on Saturday you'll get Dave O'Brien, and then a week from Sunday or 2 weeks from Sunday on the ESPN. So anyway, for the NFL, we had a couple of notes. We had a, and this is kind of a, I threw this in because he's not a Hall of Famer, but this just shows how durable running backs used to be. MacArthur Lane, and he was drafted in 19, he died. He was 68 years old. He was, he's from Utah State. Oh, he was drafted in, I'm sorry, he's not 68. He was drafted in 68, but he was the 13th draft pick, and that was the year OJ was drafted. So he played at Utah State. He started with the St. Louis Cardinals, played there from 68 through 71, then went to Green Bay from 72 to 74, Kansas City from 75 through 78. I didn't even remember him with Kansas City. But so that just shows you how running backs used to actually last more than 4 years. He was... he had 1,206 attempts at a rushing attempt, 4,656 yards rushed. He had 287 receiver receptions and 2,786 for yards on that. And he was 38 touchdowns. So, you know, just a journeyman running back. You wouldn't call him a – he was 77, by the way. I found his age here, 77 years old. But you look at it and you say, and actually, why would he be drafted? Maybe that's a misprint, because 77 is 68. He should only be a couple years older than me. He should be about 72. But anyway, the point is that that just shows the endurance that running backs used to have. They don't anymore. I don't know why. I don't know what happens, but it just doesn't happen.
Did he have a military commitment with Vietnam? Maybe that's why. Then he came.
Maybe so. Yeah, you could have that right. You could have that right. Hey, Vietnam, MacArthur. Yes. You know, MacArthur. Why wouldn't you put MacArthur in the military? Absolutely. Okay. Huh. Then we had an injury to Jason Pierre-Paul of the Tampa Bay Bucks. He was in a neck injury in a car accident, and I guess that's not very nice. And he was injured earlier in his career, a fireworks injury on the 4th of July when he was with the Giants. So his off season, he and Ben Roethlisberger have not worked on their off season regimen well.
Then that's why I was laughing, Chris, because I remember the fireworks incident. He took out several of his fingers, and
But he's a defensive lineman. You don't need fingers to play defense. You know, you don't need anything. Okay.
Hey, Rocky Blyer didn't have any. He lost. And also, another quick NFL retirement. I mean, you know, a lot of people know this guy. He's probably going in the Hall of Fame. You know, Derek Johnson, linebacker with Chiefs. You know, he's probably one of the top of this era, along with maybe a Ray Lewis in that era. Played for University of Texas, played with Chiefs. He signed a one-day contract on Tuesday with Chiefs and then announced, you know, to do his retirement so he could retire with them. So, you know, probably first or second ballot Hall of Famer, I'd say. So.
Okay. And then we're going to start into our media stuff, and I'm going to do one death that we had in the media of somebody who was involved. And I don't watch boxing, so I don't know anything about this. Robert would know more about this guy. Harold Letterman. He was the judge who was – he started judging boxing in 1967. And then he went in and he judged up through 86, I think. But he was on HBO from 79 on until 2018. He retired. I'm sorry. Yeah, he retired as a judge in 99, but he was on HBO from 79. He died at 79. I'm sorry. But he's been on HBO since they started their coverage in 86, I guess it was, and retired.
And went all the way to the end. They ended their boxing coverage. HBO did in 2018. So that's
right.
He went from beginning to the end of HBO, I think, is what it is.
That's right. That's what I was trying to say.
And you'll hear a lot more about him on the boxing podcast if you'll listen to that.
Yeah, I'm sure they're talking about him tonight, and that'll be available down the road. So I guess, so what are some of the media things we want to cover here?
Okay. Well, we know we have the mic for NCESA thing, so stay tuned for that.
Right.
Yeah, real quickly, though, the XFL, that's the other spring league that starts next year. They've actually been planning a little more than the Alliance. They have announced their games will be on ABC, ESPN, Fox, and Fox Sports 1. So there'll probably be a game on each network because there's eight teams. And the ABC ESPN kind of surprised me, but then it kind of didn't because the WWE has deals with USA, and then starting in October, their other show moves to Fox. So I figured it was going to be NBC and NBCSN, but ESPN has really been trying to court Vince McMahon, and I think they want something. So I can kind of see maybe why they got behind this, but yeah, so you'll see that starting February 2020. And there you
okay.
go.
And then so Sean, why don't you tell since we got a lot of the information on that from, and we're not going to have the actuality, I guess, but the business with Mike Francesa, and then we can talk about it a little bit.
Okay. Basically, for those of you that may remember at the draft, player, oh, his name escapes me now. Valentine.
Are you talking about the Duke quarterback?
No. Well, no, I'm talking about the player that was shot. This is what
okay,
we're
Valentine.
Corey Valentine. Corey Valentine. He played Washburn University in Topeka, Kansas, and he was drafted late round on Saturday by the Giants. And the Giants had talked about they took Jones, the quarterback from Duke, because you know they're looking at character issues. They want to have all this. And Corey Valentine, he went to a club, and it was reported Saturday night, Sunday, of course, you know, he was shot, and his teammate in college was also shot, and he was killed. But by that Sunday night when we talked about it, we didn't know what the incident was. But by early Monday morning, it was out that he was asking for directions. Corey Valentine was. And somebody was asking him for directions. Either way, it was a direction. So they were at the car helping whoever out or doing, and apparently it was somebody shot at them. And so it was not an incident where he was starting something with somebody, not a character issue. But by Tuesday afternoon on Mike Francesa's show, 36 hours, almost 48 hours after the real story came out and almost 72 hours after the incident happened itself, Mike Francesa goes on this rant about how can the Giants do this? They're talking character issues. I've been a Giant fan forever. And, you know, how can they do this? You have a kid who's in a shooting and, you know, just basically, I mean, it was after the story was already going around why he was shot. Everybody knew, but Francesa did not. And he started getting on him about, oh, you say character issues and then you draft a kid like this. And, you know, he was also, you know, the Jones situation, but he was really blasting him for drafting this kid who got shot, you know, on an incident giving or getting directions, not gangbanging, not any of that. I mean, it's in Topeka, Kansas. I mean, I guess they have gangs in Topeka. I don't know.
But, oh, they must. You know, they must have the small ones. You know, it's a small town.
Yeah, small gangs. But, you know, he went, and Francesa, and there's a whole site out there. It's called Francesa Funhouse or Funhouse Francesa on Twitter, where they have a lot of these Francesa blunders out there. And this one, it came out, and I wish we had the audio, but we don't. But that's basically the gist of it. I mean, if there's anything I missed on it.
Well, the thing I wanted to say is, okay, you know, character issues. Now, they do a lot of these things. They do all these tests with everybody, and they talk to everybody and do all these things. But I wanted to give an example of two things that happened with Red Auerbach. Now, we think of Red Auerbach as one of the great coaches and general managers of all time. He didn't always have a good scouting staff. He didn't have a lot of money. He made some bad draft choices. We can, those of us who are Celtics fans can certainly think of a lot of them, but we can think of a lot of good ones. And one of the good ones that he made that everybody would have made was Len Bias in 1986. You know, top player, going to be the next Larry Bird, basically. That's the way, that was kind of the thing. They were going to play together, and then he was going to, you know, move in and into that spot. he died. Like the next day, he takes cocaine and he dies. 2 days later, he died. Okay. Red Auerbach had no clue because Lefty Driesell had no clue. Lefty Driesell is the guy that took the fall for it. The coach, of course, of Maryland and, you know, so forth. And, you know, a big time, you know, we talk about our big time coaches now. He was right at that level with all the top 10. If you'd asked anybody in 1986 who's one of the top 10 coaches, would have been Lefty Driesell. Well, he lost his job over this one. And then Reggie Lewis. Now, here he was right in our backyard at Northeastern University. We don't know whether he died because of drugs or just because of a congenital heart problem that never was satisfactorily figured out. But he was drafted in 1987. Again, you know, okay, we didn't get Len Bias, but we need the real swing man, sort of the new, what was going to be the Paul Pierce. I mean, not as good as Paul Pierce, but pretty good player. He was a good player for the Celtics, you know, while he was there, the 5 years he was there. And then he died. So, you know, this happens. You can't, you know, and this is a victim too. That's the other point. I don't think Mike understood that this was somebody or it missed. He was so busy, and he also gets 15 yards for a late hit. He was so busy piling on to this GM for drafting the Duke quarterback, which is a very questionable move. Everybody was really wondering what that was about, you know, to draft him that high. You could probably get him in your later first round pick, maybe in the second round. You didn't have to, if you really wanted him, you could have done something else, you know, whatever, traded him, moved around to get him. That's fine. If you want to yell about that and the actual tactics of this is the key year where you need to think about how you're going to replace Eli. Is this A, the right guy, and B, how did you go about getting him? Then that's fine. And bring that up all you want. And Mike Francesa totally inbound to do that. But to throw this in there, like, and another thing, you know, that's a late hit. That's 15 yards. That's ridiculous. It had nothing to do with what that guy did as GM drafting Jones from Duke. You know, and the other thing with Mike, I think he needs somebody with him. Some people, and most sports talk shows, I mean, you know, you have two or three people, and that is how they work. And, you know, some people are bigger experts on one thing than another. And we, around here, what do? I just said to Perry about some of these teams. I asked him to comment because because I'm working full time. He gets to hear more of those comments on MLB radio and get to troll the media a little bit for some of these things. Sean, and in the NBA, he gets more of the inside stuff. So you need to know, you need to, as they say in horse racing, stay in your lane. We had that last week. And you need, but you need to do that. And if you're by yourself, you can get out of whack. And I think he needs a partner. But at this point, he's really pontificating. When you hear him on the air, it's like it's very dry. Now I enjoy him. I think his opinions are interesting. For example, he's already said that Zion Williams is not going to make it very big in the NBA because he's not a good shooter. Now, I don't know that to be true, but that's what Mike Francesa says. He doesn't like his form. He doesn't think he's going to be a good shooter. And, of course, this is what is important because we're coming up to the lottery where the Knicks may be the guy they want to take because, of course, people have been hearing about him right along. And if the Knicks, by some magical, instance, get the number one pick, which we all expect, then that's what they're probably going to do. And then he's all ready to jump all over that right now. So there you go. So,
by the way, Chris, sorry to interrupt you, but we do need to get back to baseball just for a minute. We had a no-hitter this week, and we didn't mention that. And Bill has a clip that we want to play. Mike Fiers of the A's pitched a no-hitter against the Reds. And if you did not hear the end of it, it sounded like this on A's radio with Ken Korak and Ray Fosse. So, Bill, if you want to go ahead and...
I do. Here we go. We may run a little over, guys, so just be prepared.
Okay.
And the one thing you can do if you're in a no-hitter situation versus the perfect game, as he just did. He went 3-1 changeup, 3-2 slider, and he got Votto to roll over on a pitch.
And here's Eugenio Suarez. He struck out, bounced out, and walked. A's 2 and the Reds nothing.
The difference in a perfect game and a no-hitter, perfect game, you have to figure out, are you going to try to preserve a no-hitter or go for the perfecto?
Suarez right on top of the plate, an even stance. Figley sets up outside. The pitch is right there, right down the middle of fastball 88. Everybody's standing now.
11,794 happy people on hand tonight. Hour and 38 minute delay.
Here's the 0-1. Now fire steps off. Yeah, and trying to validate their patience, you know, right, as they waited through that delay. And now here's the 0-1 pitch. Fires, throws, and it's swung on, hit down the right field side, foul out of play. As often happens in games like this, you can point to defensive plays. And again, that sequence for the A's in the sixth inning. Really incredible back-to-back, the sequence and the plays by Profar and Laureano. 0-2. Mike fires his one out away, with the A's leading 2-0 from his second no-hitter into the windup, and he delivers. Here it is, and it's high, and one ball and two strikes. Now the A's, a conventional infield alignment. They're not shifting slightly to pull. The outfielder's room in left center.
And the lights in left field have mostly come on, so no excuses. That's from the beginning of the game, which is good.
With two out, Suarez at the plate, fires at the sign, now turns, kicks, and throws. It's taken high. And two balls and two strikes. Suarez has struck out, bounced out, and walked. Two runs, five hits and error Athletics. No runs, no hits and error for the Reds. And Suarez, a right-handed hitter. Here's Fires, reading Fegley. Now ready, here's the turn, the kick, and the 2-2 delivery. Swung on and missed on a breaking ball in the dirt. And Mike Fires has thrown his second no-hitter. And tonight, on May 7th, tonight, seen, he has done it for the Oakland A's. And the A's...
There you go, guys.
There we go. There we go. We wanted to get that in because I was looking back on my notes as we were going. It's like, oh, we forgot that.
Yeah, I was thinking we forgot that. I thought about that during the other two.
No, that was good. And it is 2019, not 2019. It was not done during the Roman Empire, but that's okay. Yeah. At least he didn't say he knew where he was. I remember the one that the Ed Farmer called, and he said he was at U.S. Cellular Field. It was in Seattle. That was a little embarrassing. But anyway.
But
Sean, why don't you do your thing?
Yep, do your thing, Sean.
All right. Well, real quickly, we also want to remind you, we do have the PGA Championship this week. Remember, they moved it to May.
That's right.
The PGA Championship. So I don't know if we'll talk 17 minutes of golf next week or not, but hey, you never know. Probably not, but you never know. But anyway, if you want to hear us, let's say you're gone next week, or if you want to hear this week's show and you want to hear our past show and you want to hear 17 minutes of golf, go to legendoldies.com, download Sports Lounge Live, or go to your podcatcher, type in Worldwide Space Legend, and select Sports Lounge Live there. You can select All Things Radio and the Coffee Club. I recommend you select all three of them. You can tell your smart device to play Worldwide Legend podcast and just keep saying next until you get the next one, or listen at 773-572-7715. That is also where you listen, and you can leave a comment for us just by hitting the beep whenever you hear the greeting. But if you want to listen, stay tuned, and you'll get the whole thing. Hang up, call back in. It leaves off right from where you left off. So anyway, we're going to be back next week with a lot of conference finals and playoffs and maybe some golf, and I don't doubt about horse racing, but yeah, maybe.
Never know. All right.
See you next week.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a great week, everyone. Okay.